The Tin Makers Podcast, Episode 22.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Tent Makers Podcast. My name is David Ludwig.
And my name is Mark Sintel.
And this is the podcast dedicated to encouraging and equipping bivocational pastors and ministry leaders. Our goal is to help you be effective to use your two or more jobs to accomplish your one important mission. So in this episode, we'll be talking about leadership development. But the first thing I'd like to point out to you is our website. This ministry is part of the broader ministry of the Baptist Resource Network in Pennsylvania and South Jersey. The BRN exists to glorify God by fostering spiritual transformation for persons and communities with the gospel. You can find out more about the BRN and other great content at www.brnonline.org.
All right, so let's get right into this episode. We talk about leadership development a lot, and so maybe there are a few topics that we haven't hit yet I'd like us to discuss today. And maybe first is, you know, I think we talked last time about intentional discipleship, and every follower of Christ is called to be a disciple who makes disciples. And at that level, every disciple is a leader of men in as much as they're a fisher of men, that we are leading others to the Lord and showing them. But there are some people within the body that are gifted to with a spiritual gift of leadership, or they aspire to spiritual leadership of groups or communities. And so when we're talking leadership development, we're looking at how do we make sure that infrastructure is in place to run the organization, to facilitate group movement within the body of Christ. And there are people called towards that. That could be anything from the highest level leaders in a church, pastors, elders, deacons, but that could really be anything. That could be the coffee ministry, the greeting ministry. Anytime a group gets to be of any size, you have leadership challenges that come there. Who's going to make the schedule? Who's going to recruit? Who is going to encourage and build up? Who's going to
order the coffee?
Who's going to order the coffee? That's right. And so these are servant roles. All of, a leader is a servant, not a king. These are all servant roles within the body of Christ, but somebody needs to be thinking about the things that everyone else isn't thinking about. Someone needs to be thinking ahead in regards to whatever ministry area it is. If you don't have someone ordering the coffee or restocking the toilet paper, you have no coffee or toilet paper.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That takes leadership. Leadership is what initiates movement within a church. And so while not everyone is called to these specialized areas of service, there are those who are, and it's essential for us, if we're going to have healthy churches, to give time to leadership development. Kind of with that, I think from a bivocational standpoint, with limited time to put into the ministry, I personally feel like the teaching and preaching of the word is the best thing I can do. But shortly after that would be developing leaders, particularly my core leaders, that they can do more ministry than I certainly can. And so my limited time is best spent in them. I wish I could just snap my fingers though, and boom, I've got a leader. And, I wish they were just kind of born instantly spiritually mature and organizationally mature, but I have not found it to work that way.
No, and it's not that easy. There's got to be a long-term view of leadership development. You know, as I've shared with you, Mark, earlier, even I've been in settings where I've seen this done very well, and it's almost textbook to the degree where it seems like everything is running like a well-oiled machine. And some of that was because of the long-term leadership development that this particular mentor of mine had been a part of. He was intentional about giving things away. You're not beyond ordering coffee and making sure that there's toilet paper, but as you've said already, there's other things that are important that you can do that maybe somebody else can't do. So you've got to be developing others who can take that responsibility away. And that's where that keyword development is. There's got to be, they're not just always ready-made. We've got to look for people that we can pour into and help them to develop the gift, develop their ability.
One of my mentors said, early on in ministry, he said, Mark, you need to keep a 15-year view of ministry. And he meant by that, you wait 15 years to see if you've got results. If you think too much shorter than that, you're either going to get overly proud or depressed. Okay, so that was his. So keep a long view of ministry. And I think that maybe that can also apply to leadership development. We need to kind of keep a long-term view of leadership development. You said something like, think, what, 3-4 year process, not 3-4 week process, right?
Right, right. Because initially, it's identifying those persons that have potential. We may not see them ready tomorrow, but we realize that with the right equipping, with the right amount of time spent with them and teaching them the skills and et cetera, spiritual growth, they'll be able to lead at a future date. And those are the long-term goals.
Yeah, I have a hard time putting that into practice. You know, I'll sometimes complain of we don't seem to have the spiritual maturity, but I'm looking for fully formed people,
sure.
You know, fully mature believers, fully formed leaders. I think you've used the word, you know, looking for a nugget of leadership ability in someone and then nurturing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have the example of Jesus, and obviously he identified fishermen that he had intended to have later sent out.
And he spent 3 years developing them.
That's right. Wasn't something that happened instantly. And that's where we've got to really hang on to this. So thinking longer term and not get discouraged when we're not seeing those instant results.
You know, I think maybe even we should be wary of instant results. I'm thinking of the call to appointing deacons in Scripture, where it talks about letting them be tested first. It's okay to have a period of testing leaders. In fact, it's right. We would be disobedient to the Scripture if we didn't give it a period of time. Don't let them be a recent convert. So there's a lot of distance between recent convert and deacon, for example. And so that maturity comes as someone grows. Certainly the Holy Spirit does that sanctifying work, but more often than not, he's doing it through a disciple maker or someone mentoring or leading this person into leadership skills.
Could be even someone that's in a ministry that they're a part of. They've got someone who's in the men's ministry, or they've got someone who's part of their Sunday morning class or a Bible study, and they've saw something there.
That's right. At our church, frankly, I got tired of complaining about a lack of leaders and a lack of mature believers. And so we made a mid-course correction in a few things to start adding a leadership development layer on top of some of the things we were already doing. And I'm sharing that just for, again, for the sake of my bivocational brothers, that maybe you can just make a little tweak in what you're doing, and suddenly you're now doing leadership development instead of just what you were doing. Two examples. One is a men's breakfast that we had. So we had a monthly men's breakfast that used to be kind of a Romeo club, you know, the R-O-M-E-O, retired old men eating out, you know, and then just a bunch of guys getting together. And occasionally they'd do a little Bible study or pray together, or, you know, sometimes do some repair work on the church together. And all those are all good things, you know, and just the fellowship and food and laughs, great times. We made a tweak to that, and we changed the name, saying this is now elder training and deacon training. We said to the guys outright, you are the pool of men that are going to lead this church. And so it won't be for lack of trying that we don't have leaders. And so we're going to start focusing our time on leadership issues during our men's breakfast. It gave us a direction to go. It's no more meetings. It's no more prep. It's the same number of meetings, same amount of prep, but now it's in a direction, which is leadership.
Yeah.
And so those guys are showing up, and every month we're talking about a leadership lesson. And since, again, one of the qualifications, at least of elders in Scripture, is the ability to teach, it gives us a great context to hand the outline for the next session to another guy and said, next week or next month, you're leading the discussion. And it's part of training.
So that's great. That's great.
Jump right in.
You know, I got to wonder, though, and this is how my mind goes, but we would say once a month we have that men's breakfast, and you're right, using that as a time to equip and empower. There are 12 once a month, and then there might be a one or two that doesn't happen. There's other ways, and I would say this is I want to kind of throw in a little bit of a plug, I guess it is. Things like Ministry Grid, those are time. We hear that, you know, we say it, we know it. Time. Time is an issue. You can only get so much of somebody else's time, and you only have so much time of your own that you're able to shuffle into doing something else. But I just would encourage everybody, if you're not familiar with it, I'm not getting any money for promoting this, so please don't think I'm a salesman for Lifeway, but I am convinced that if you can use the tool and it works for you, it's a tool that could help you to do leadership development and time isn't as much of a factor because it's something that's electronic and it's on the line.
Someone else is doing the training for you.
Yeah, it's already ready-made trainings that you can point someone to. And then have a conversation afterwards. How did you like that? What did you learn from it? So it's no prep time. It's already done. Take advantage of those types of things. They can be your friends, as I like to say.
They really can. And let me bring up one last topic that kind of comes from that. And just a little bit of confession here, too. I used to have too high of opinion of myself, thinking I was the only one that could develop my leaders. I was the only one that could lead, or because I'm more skilled at it than most, I should lead. Or put a different way, I'd just cringe when someone else was trying to lead a group and it wasn't working well and they were stumbling over it. And I was like, oh, it's just not worth the, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to be part of that. And like, oh, I can do it better myself. You know, and that's just a pride issue. That was just simply a pride issue. When it comes down to it, watching, young leaders develop, they have to learn. And yeah, sometimes they fumble over words and they miss a point in their outline and they don't know how to bunny trails from happening forever. But they have to learn, and we need to be humble enough to let them learn and to give them safe places to do that. We also made a second idea from our just little church as we took our Sunday school class and we made it a class that leadership was passed around. And so it happens to be a mixed class of teenagers and adults. And we'll have a 12-year-old lead one week and a 60-year-old lead another week. And just different people take leadership. And it's a small, safe environment where everyone gets a chance to lead. Some are better at it than others, but everyone's getting experience and everyone's learning that they could lead a discussion on a Bible story if they had to, just by taking the Bible itself and knowing a few simple inductive Bible study questions. What does it say? What does it mean? How does it apply? You know, those kind of things. Anybody can do it. Yeah. But that took a little humility to trust that God can speak through a 12-year-old, just like he can speak through a 60-year-old, just like he can speak through a seminary-trained teacher, and all of us can learn to be better leaders. And
that's right.
Humble enough to let that process unfold.
It just reminded me of something I heard once, and I don't know who said it first, but the idea of Jesus modeling leadership. He did it, and others watched, and then they did it with him, and then eventually they did it, and he watched, and then they went and did it, taught others to do the same. So that's probably didn't say it quite the way, but you get the idea.
Yeah, there was a time he left.
Yes, that's right.
He left them to completely do it and said, I'll be with you always, even to the end.
Taught him how to do it, and then he sent him off to do what he was doing.
That's right. And physically removed himself from doing that. And so that's just a few more thoughts on leadership development. It is a topic that will come up again and again and again. And we really appreciate you guys tuning in to us to listen, but we'd really like to listen to you too. So to comment on this episode, go to our blog at brnonline.org/tentmakers/022 for episode 22. And let us know what you thought. If you have a question about this topic or an idea for a future topic, you can leave us a voicemail message at brnonline.org/tentmakers/podcast questions.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Tent Makers Podcast. We'd be grateful if you would rate our podcast on iTunes. That helps us tremendously with keeping our podcast visible so people who have never heard of it can discover it. If you've already done this, thank you so much, and we are truly grateful. If you'd like to comment in this episode, please go to brnonline.org/tentmakers. Go to the show notes for this episode and scroll down to the comments section. We'd love to hear from you, your comments, questions, or whatever. Until next time, remember, working two jobs is tough,
but your one mission is worth it.